Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 3, we were talking about the suffering and trials of this world, which are nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Let's continue with that discussion today. Now, here's our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.
His Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit once we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so, he said, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon, I like that, reckon, you know, that's a good southern word, isn't it? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, I purposely there just said, reckon sounds like a good southern word. And you know, sometimes in the south here we'll say, well, you're going to go there? Well, I reckon so. Okay. And that's another way of probably saying maybe, yeah, probably, or something of that nature. But reckon really had somebody who was, you might say, an accountant. And so the sufferings of this present time, the cost doesn't match the reward. The reward is far, far greater than the cost. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, what a blessing that is to know that the reward far, by far, outweighs any suffering that you do. Just think, there's Stephen being stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. And he gets on his knees, and he asks the Lord to lay that sin not to their charge, but then also while doing that, he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Oh my goodness, what a blessing to have seen that, because there's others there that couldn't see it. He saw it, and the old Apostle Paul, who was not an apostle at that time, he's the one to put the okay to go ahead and put Stephen to death, go ahead and stone him. But later when he gets saved and gives his testimony, he always refers to Stephen. That had an effect. He had to know that Christ was standing there watching. And so, the sufferings of this present time aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And then he says in the next verse, for the earnest expectation of the Spirit. Oh, wow. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Oh, when we're caught up to be with the Lord and robed in his righteousness, the gifts of God handed out. You know, I told the story just a few minutes ago of the man that made fun of me in front of everybody else and trying to get him saved. And I was a teenager. I was embarrassed. And, you know, the problem there is I tried to make myself a victim. I had a victim mentality. Oh, I'm being persecuted. Now, if that's persecution, if one calls that persecution, they have no idea what persecution is. You see, the problem with that is that we're not victims. Think of Peter and John also in Acts 4. What happens? They're told not to preach any more in that name, and they received the whip. I mean, they got in chapter 4 and 5. But what did he say? They go back rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. In other words, that their testimony was so strong, it messed those people up. I mean, it got them so shook up because they testified for Christ. There was power in that testimony. And they thought, boy, to suffer for the name of Christ, because I preached the message he gave us, I preached the gospel we saw, I preached what got me saved. Wow. And he's rejoicing. I found it interesting. In the ministry over the years, I've had come out. All he preaches is salvation. Well, you folks that listen to me on the radio, you know that in going through my verse-by-verse study, sometimes I'm bringing in salvation, sometimes other things about the Christian life and all of that. But they didn't like the idea. Boy, every Sunday he's got to bring in the plan of salvation. Every service has got to bring in the plan of salvation. And yet, you know, I didn't really see those people bringing others to Christ. And they said, often they come back and they wouldn't say it to me, you know, I need the meat of God's word. Well, you can have all the meat you want, but you better chew it up and swallow it. You know, the meat is already there. You've got to take it. You've got to eat it. You've got to ingest it. You've got to let it do its work in you and through you. And if the preaching of a salvation message messes you up, you just think, oh, that's terrible. It's too shallow for me. Actually, the Bible lets us know that the preaching of the gospel is power to them that believe. Obviously, if every time you hear the word of God, when salvation is brought in and you don't like it because you've heard so much of it, then it is not power to you. That says something that is not good at all about your Christian life. I mean, it's a very poor testimony. And don't wait till you get to heaven and find out that that was a poor testimony. Get things right now. Be happy that you know that there's a place where people are going to get a chance to get saved. And you can bring in those lost loved ones with you. You can bring in those lost fellow workers. You can bring in those fellow neighbors that are lost. You can bring in others, friends from all around that you're not sure they're saved. Bring them in. At least let them sit in church where they will hear the word, where they might get saved. And so, he says there, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, having said that, let me read again from verse 7 of our text, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. That's why I read Romans chapter 8. I read that, those verses there, for that very reason. Okay, so I wanted you to get that from verses 16, 17, and 18 of Romans 8 as I read that. So again, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. Heirs. Okay, we're talking about joint heirs in Romans 8. Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. My friend, that's a sure hope in Christ. And so, when you read verse 7 there with that thought in mind, and then after reading those verses, that ought to speak to your heart. I tell you, that really meant a lot to me in the study, in my own personal studies here of Titus chapter 3, to see those things. And as I've gone through it verse by verse, you know, sometimes the preacher, you almost want to jump ahead and go ahead and preach it because it just kind of excites your own heart and life. And that is one of the things the Lord just does for me that I get from being able to study these things and read it. But now, again, We're looking at verse 7 there. Now I want you to think on this, okay? In one verse, verse 7, we are justified. We are joint heirs. A sure hope, you see. We are all saved by grace. Grace. His merciful grace. Don't miss, with that thought in mind, the depth of Ephesians, and especially of this, what you just read here, that we're going to see Ephesians perhaps again in a few minutes, but I want you to see the depth of his love for us here in verses 5 through 7 of chapter 3. This is great depth. Again, he's mentioned justified, heirs, hope. It's all by mercy, his grace. All of those things in these verses here. Now, when you look at verse 7, what did he say? He said that being justified, or is that, by his grace, that's the second thing, we should be made, what should we be made? Heirs. Okay, there's a third thing, heirs. According to the hope. And then finally, of eternal life. That makes the hope a sure hope, all in Christ Jesus. I tell you, that is a tremendous verse here in Titus chapter 3. Now, let's put those three verses together. Not by works of righteousness, this is verses 5 through 7 of Hebrews chapter 3. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, being justified by his grace, to be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, you may be out there saying, Pastor, you went to Romans chapter 8, and you've gone to Ezekiel in this study, and you've gone to Isaiah, and you've gotten all these different scriptures. Why do you do that when you're just studying Titus? Because the Bible doesn't contradict itself in any part. All scripture is given by inspiration, and no scripture is of private interpretation. We find out in 2 Peter chapter 1. What does that mean? No scripture is interpreted against another or contradicts another. It's all together. It's one, my friend.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.